Okay. Right. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. But the care and keeping of you has turned into the care and keeping of houseplants, because my topic is houseplants. This is something I'm really super passionate about, probably because I grew up in a house where I had a mom who was super passionate about plants and houseplants, more so outdoor plants then, but now we both are obsessed with houseplants. Like I said, I'm not an expert, but this is something that I've practiced and grown, like literally grown things that I love, and they just make me so happy. And I even was just laughing and like giddy about a cactus story earlier. So some of you might relate. Like, raise your hand if you have houseplants at home. Okay, so a good number of you. I just wanted to like briefly talk about, some of you might already be like, I am not listening, this is not my thing, I kill everything. I was a black thumb, I killed a cactus when I was younger. It was a saguaro, and it would be like, I was telling my table, it would probably be like up to my knees by now if I hadn't killed it. But I've killed many, many, many plants in my life. But I think as I have started to embrace the process, I've gotten not good, but pretty decent at caring and keeping of my houseplants. So to start, if you don't have any houseplants, these are the ones, I should have gotten pictures, but I didn't have it together. Pothos, aloe, jade, spider plant, and snake plant are all really, really great, really easy things to start with. You might still kill it, and that's okay. Just keep trying. Like Daniel Tiger says, you'll get better. Okay, so I brought some props. I have a lot of houseplants in my house, but this one I bought at Aldi a couple years ago, and this was my first real experience with propagation. Does anybody know what propagation is in houseplants? And some of you guys might be way more like well-versed in this land, and I want to talk to you if you are. We can just get together and talk about plants. I would love that. So this was my mother plant. I think it's a golden pothos. If not, it's just a regular pothos. I don't know. Common house plant. So I got that at Aldi. And this is what I have propagated from this original plant. So just from, okay, you don't have to clap. It's not hard.
I've successfully done it, and I've tried many times.
Okay, well, I have a few tips that I can teach. So the thing that I think is so great about plants, and back to the theme of dwell, your dwelling place should be, like, comfortable and beautiful, and plants make everything beautiful. And so this is my argument for plants, is that they make things beautiful. They're cheery. They're living. And they make great gifts. So if you're propagating them, you have free plants and free gifts to give to people. And, so this is actually debatable, but people really push this hard now that they what is it called? Detoxify your house, purify your house. And I think it is true. Definitely there's some truth to it, but some of the research was kind of, like, some of the wording was pulled out, and it was, like, just pushed through, and now everyone's like, it'll just make your house completely, you know, toxin-free, and I just don't think that's true. But there's no harm, right? Just having houseplants, they've got to eat something bad, right? I think they take formaldehyde out of the air, but I don't think you're going to have a completely chemical-free house just by putting plants in it, just FYI. If you continue to propagate plants, I think you'll turn into a jungalow, which can't be a bad thing either. But I'm just going to show how you propagate really quick. I have a little propagation station. And what you do is, okay, so I brought, this is probably my longest trailing vine from the pothos. Guys, seriously, this is super, super easy. And this is a really fun way to try your game at making more plants from what you already have. You want to clip. I'm actually going to do it right now. Hold on. Just to show you. Okay.
Can you comment about what your family says about this? Like your husband?
Oh, yeah. We have two fiddly figs in our room, in our bedroom, because it's the only room where they grow. And I got the second one, and John was like, because it's like a tree. And he was like, at what point do you stop? Like, when are you satisfied? And I said, Googleplex 99 is the limit for me. So I don't really care what he thinks, because they're beautiful and they're not in his way. Well, actually, one was in his way. I put one in front of his coffee pot thing, and he kept moving it. He was like, it was like this passive aggressive thing where it would be in a different place, and I'd put it back, and then it'd be somewhere else. Don't let your marriage, like, crumble because of that. But, yeah, I would say that my husband's a little bit, like, not as into it. I think he does appreciate it, though. Okay. What you're going to do is you're going to go somewhere, like, you can go to Walmart, Home Depot, just that's the cheapest, to be honest. But I would recommend supporting, like, local places like Maryfield Garden Center. It's expensive, but it's local. And Botanologica is a really cool shop on 7 in Falls Church. They sell, like, super cool houseplants that are kind of rare. And the other one is, you can go to Green Spring Gardens, which is a Fairfax County park. It's kind of the horticultural club or hub, I guess. And you can buy houseplants there. But if you are on a budget, go to Home Depot or somewhere cheap and get just a pothos. Take it home. And what you're going to look for are these little nubs. Okay? These guys. So basically any plant, and I'm like learning, I'm like experimenting with all this stuff. Any plant that has a nodule, I guess you call it. Is that the right word? Nodule? It's kind of a gross word. So I'm going to cut this vine off because it's been vining out for like 2 months. Okay, here's a clip. What I could do is I could just stick this in water and root it and then pot it. And potting really is just a matter of getting anything that can hold dirt, like anything. This is an example, like a broken mug. Be creative with what you can find. Put drainage at the bottom, rocks, and then soil, and stick your rooted plant in it. And then it'll continue to trail. But if you want to make a bushier plant like this, that's where you're going to want to have the nodules cut. So what I would do is clip. I don't see a nodule. That one. You want to clip at an angle. They're so hardy, too. You just, like, clip them. And that's why it's great. There. And then, I didn't get water. But you would.
What are you doing?
clipping these nodules. You can't really see. Yeah. So I'm cutting these nodules. Okay, yeah. See these?
We each have a nodule.
Yeah. Yes, these little bumps. Okay. These are what root out. Okay. The roots come out of that. Okay? So now I have these pieces. And what you do is you have to root them. They have to have roots. So you have to keep them in water probably up to 2 weeks. And you just kind of dump out the water every couple days, watch it. And when you see the white roots coming out, kind of like this, you can't really tell because I just got this, but there's like a white root right here. That's when it's starting to get ready to go into soil. Okay, but that is also why I have these little propagation stations in my house, because I just get these little nodules, stick them, like all you need is this, and you just stick it in water and wait, and then little roots will come out. Okay, so then you're going to have, hopefully, a bunch of little like rooty plant guys. And that's when you make your new plant. And I've done, like, if you look at this. Okay, so I did this little process where I rooted these guys. I made this plant, this one plus a vine, this plant and that plant, and then multiple gifts for people, like in mugs or whatever. So this is, like, you can see, it makes me so happy and so excited. And let's see. Yeah, so you just be creative with the containers that you use. Question?
The ones that are hardier, are you using multiple plants in one pot?
What do you mean?
The fuller ones.
Like the one in your mug. Like the mug one you had multiple. Yeah.
Like how many do you put in at, like when you start? This I started with like 5. And this is probably about like 5 months ago. So this is why they're so easy, is they just pop up, like you just keep seeing new little guys coming up. And eventually they'll start to kind of, only one of them has a nodule, because that's when they mature. So I'm going to wait for a while, but this one will probably vine out eventually. And then I'll clip it and make more. Okay. The other one that you can, go ahead.
Why did you say change out the water when it's in the water like that?
Okay, because there's a buildup of something. And you want to get it out, and then you want to put more water back in. I'm not a scientist. Is it nitrogen?
No.
Yeah, it's like just fresh, like a fresh Yeah, I actually learned that from YouTube. This guy was saying that it actually helps promote brood growth.
You're putting the whole leaf in the water.
You can. You can. You don't have to, though. I just let them kind of hang out. But I actually put just one. I missed, like, the leaf fell off. So right now in my little propagation station, I don't know if you can see it. This one. That was like had no leaf on it. It just had a nodule, and then it grew. It's like water. It's called, what's it called, hydroponics. So it just grew out of that. Okay. So, anyways, if you wanted to know more, just come talk to me because I'll just talk your off.
Talk about the dirt because that's just the stuff that. Okay, when I said I propagated before, no, transplanting. Uh-huh. Which they always die, mm-hmm. because I think I'm messing up. Like I'm either pressing too hard in the dirt, too much water, not enough water.
Yeah. Well, when they're
that's the stuff I think that's tricky.
Yeah, so I'm really bad with that part, but I just, because I'm lazy and I don't want to go get dirt, and I don't want to get dirt all over my house. So I usually just, this is why there's hope for all, because you can just kind of make it work. Like, I've gotten dirt out of my garden, which is not recommended. But you get a thing of dirt, make sure you get drainage at the bottom. Drainage is so important for all of your plants. Always make sure there's either a hole at the bottom of your pot, or if you're using a mug or something, put rocks at the bottom because the worst thing for your plant is to sit in water. Even if it likes water, it does not want to sit in water. Okay. Drainage, dirt, and then just get those little guys in there and just pat them in firmly. You really can't hurt them. Like these, you can like throw out the window and then go pick them up. And just try it, Jess. And they need light. They want light. They want. Get a pothos. Start with a pothos. Write that down. This is why I should have had a handout. I'm sorry. Okay.
Can they put the dirt in before the plant, or the plant
put
the dirt?
You can do either one. Who asked that? Oh, yeah. You can do either way. I just kind of... This is why I'm a bad teacher.
Put some dirt, and then put the thing in, and then you could put more dirt.
Yeah. Yes, but again, like, you can't really do it wrong. I mean, you could probably put it in upside down, and it would still grow. Okay, so when they're babies, you want to water them a little bit more just so that they kind of get rooted. I just eyeball it, like, once a week. If it starts to get dry, I fill it. Like this guy, I left it for like 2 weeks and I came back and it was dry, but I just filled it and it was fine. They'll kind of tell you, like they'll start to wilt a little bit and that means you give it water. This is a spider plant baby that I plucked off of a, I'm like confessing my sin. I plucked it off of a very large spider plant at Home Depot and it was tiny. It was tiny, and that's what, I just put it in water, rooted it out, and then stuck it, and this is my husband, I hated this thing that he had, I was like, there's no use for it, and so I put dirt in it, and then I grew it out, and then, so this is a way of life, you guys. I've gone way over time, what? Don't do it. Yeah, just come to me, and I'll give you my babies. I have more. Karen Dronfield gave me this off of her massive, okay, so I'm done. You can also do it with succulents. I can do more of that some other time. Okay, so, yeah, light drainage water. I'm bad at that. So my mom is going to come up now.
So we're going to talk more about plants. That was great.
Okay.
So, I have to get my notes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to use that. All right, so good morning. So this is kind of a dreary time of year, as we know, and there's hope of spring coming and everything blossoming. But one thing I'm going to talk about, I've just found through the years something I love to do is to decorate packages. I'm a terrible wrapper. You can see tape, you can see everything, but it's always fun for me to decorate packages with flowers. And this time of year is tough because there's not a lot out there to pick. The one thing I'm going to go through is that it's a great time. Artificial flowers have come a long way. And as you can see, these succulents look great. There are lots of things out there. Some can get really pricey. Some of the nicer ones you don't necessarily have to spend a ton on. So I'm going to just show you some different possibilities. So this is one illustration. Just have a simple bow. Again, I'm a terrible wrapper. You can see the tape. I do a terrible job. But anyway, just take just wrap simply. You don't even have to do a bow. Make a knot. And then just to dress it up, what you do is make like a little gathering of tips of plants or ends of shrubs. I'll show you as we go along. But you're making essentially what's called a tussie mussie. And a tussie mussie is in colonial days. You might remember if you have a fourth grader or beyond. Talk about tussie mussies. And that were those were like little arrangements that young women would carry around with them with their outfits. And so the nice thing is when you give the plant, give the gift, they not only get the gift, they get a little tussie mussie to go with it. So I'll show you different ways to do that. So this is one idea, and these are artificial plants. So as we're looking in spring, daffodils are coming. And daffodils are a great plant, a great flower to use. You want to use a flower that's sturdy, something that will stand up when you hold it up. Trader Joe's has in their one section, it's called fillers. And the fillers are usually the plants that are sturdy. So this is from Trader Joe's, but this is a mix of live and artificial. So you can mix it up. And you can make it as messy as you want. I tend to be kind of messy, freeform. So it's kind of fun when you do it messy, too. So that's one illustration, another illustration. Then succulents have come a long way. So a fun way to decorate packages is with succulents. And three of these are fake and one is real. So it's another fun way to give, like another gift on top of the gift. And you don't have to spend a fortune. I really like simple ribbon. They make a burlap ribbon, and I had a hard time finding it. But something, simple colors, I love butcher paper. It's a really inexpensive thing to use. And it kind of gives that natural vibe with your flowers. That's
which one's real?
The tiny one in the middle. It came from Florida last
week.
Oh,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So looking at live flowers, this is a bunch of filler, Hypericum, some other things in here, filler from Trader Joe's. So you make a package, you wrap it in a simple ribbon, and then I made the little tussie mussie to go inside.
Dead once it, does it die?
Well, that's the thing, is the live plants, because it's gathered together, like when a person takes it apart, and take it out, it's tied together. So then they can put it in water. So it's just something else that you can do with
that.
How
did you tie it together?
I tie it together with twine. And when you're making the little arrangement, just kind of put it together with your hands. You know, you start with taller things toward the back and shorter things toward the front. This, but these are all from Trader Joe's.
Yeah, Laura, go through, like, are you doing it on the, like, lay down your flat, tall thing and then layer it? Mm-hmm. Or are you doing it up? Like, tell us
you can
you
start,
that.
Like this morning on the counter, I laid the things that's a little bit taller. This is seeded eucalyptus. But I laid it on the bottom, and then I took the next layer and laid it. And you're kind of gathering it along as you're layering it. You don't have to be gentle with these things. That's the nice thing, too, about using sturdy plants. And then layered this on top so that you have kind of this type of look going. So you've got some balance in the back, and then you're filling in toward the front.
Would you be willing to pass
it
around?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can you do that the night before? Is this something you have to do within a few hours?
With live plants, I usually do it the morning of. Okay. And the live plants, most of them, like I use lavender in the summertime that lasts a long time. Rosemary's a good one. Azaleas are great. Azaleas are great to put on packages, and they look really dramatic. Like if you go to a wedding in the spring and you put this cluster of azaleas, they look fabulous. But some things have their time limit. You know, usually by the time you get to a wedding, you leave it for the reception. You can kind of tell it's starting to die down a little bit. But it's kind of fun for the bride, you know, to have. I've had brides tell me they've saved the tops from their packages. So then, again, now this year we have, this time of year we have Lenten roses. These are all live. And Lenten roses, I talked about them a couple years ago. This is one of the greatest plants ever. They bloom during before Lent and during Lent. And then that's this is a Mahonia that smells. I'll pass this around because it smells really good, too. That's a simple one. And then one thing I love to do is if you're giving a card, but you're just giving, you know, a card, maybe a check or just a card, I like to dress the card up. So it's almost kind of like a little present. So that's something that's kind of fun. That's lavender and the Lenten roses and the Mahonia. If I can pass it, smell that one too because it smells really good. And the last idea is, just to show you how simple, gluten-free cupcakes from Trader Joe's. And if you have pansies, so you just put those on top. It could not be easier. So if you get some pansies in the spring, oh, it's always fun to have at least one pot of 6-inch pot of pansies from Home Depot or wherever the grocery store, and you can always pluck them off. But it's such a simple way to decorate things, and that each one has like three, so it's an easy thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, enjoy. Any questions or thoughts?
Me.
Yeah.
Or tell us, because I was so taken with the Lent and Rose thing that you told us together here. They're kind of like a, it's not really a bush. It's a plant.
It's a perennial.
A perennial.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They like pop up out of the ground. They get bedmers.
The Lenten rose, that flower right there. Yeah.
Lenten.
Like L-E-N-T-E-N.
So we could go and buy those, like, at a greenhouse and plant them like a normal plant in our yard. And they would come back the next year.
I have one. Yeah, they're one of the hardiest plants.
They're blooming right now. It's green.
They're blooming. They're blooming purple, white, and pink.
They can be green. They're blooming now.
They're also called helleborus.
Helleborus, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because that's what my gifts look like when I get them.
Every year.
Oh, your mom.
I wanted to say one thing about your pothos.
Yes.
We have moved, like, Seattle to Rhode Island to here with our pothos plants, and I have legit not watered them for a month. They are, like, wilted over dying, and you just pour water, and it's, woo,
yep.
Like, comes back to life.
Yes. See, you don't be intimidated by plants. I'm going to pass this around, too, because I forgot. Like, if you want to, you can pull these out and look and see the nodes I'm talking about. Okay, the next person. Nikki Moore is going to show us her 5-minute makeup routine. She's being very vulnerable. This is amazing.
Stop.
Yes.
So I can.
Do you want to move the computer
stuff? Yeah, I don't mind. Sure. I'm going to start off by saying that I'm not an expert in this. I did this one time at book club, and the ladies loved it so much that Christina asked me to do it today. So, yeah, thank you. So, I'm just going to take my makeup off and show you how I reapply everything. So, I'm going to start with a makeup wipe. And...
I'm watching
a YouTube video. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh. And Nikki, while you're doing that,
yeah.
Your hair, do you use a wand?
Use a wand. We were just talking about that. That was one of the other topics that I thought about doing, but it takes longer than 5 minutes to curl my hair. So, okay. All right. See if I can get all this stuff off my face. All right, sorry, I'm super nervous. Oh, okay. Okay, so you can see my face right now. It's completely bare.
But you just put a moisturizer on. Right?
I did. I put a moisturizer.
What did you use to take off your makeup?
Just a makeup wipe. Okay, so let me show you the imperfections on my face right now. So I have some hormonal acne down here. I have some melasma from my pregnancies, and I haven't been sleeping well, so I have, I know you guys can all sympathize with that. So I have bags and dark circles under my eyes. So I'm going to use, thank you. So this is a tinted moisturizer. It's by It Cosmetics. It's called Bye Bye Foundation. So I'm just going to put one little pump on my wrist like that. And this is the key. The makeup brush is going to make it look airbrushed on my face. So I'm just going to use half
what kind of brush? Yeah, what kind of brush? Where did you get it
Sephora
from?
Sephora has all of
them. Yeah, so this is, you can get
50% off right now.
Oh. So you can either get, so this is all It Cosmetics except my eyeshadow. I like Beauty Counter, and I don't sell anything. So this I actually got on QVC because QVC will throw in the brush for free. So it's like a $50 brush. And you'll just get this.
There's
so.
Codes when you sign up for $10 off too.
Okay, so.
Okay, you're clearly gonna have to send out a list.
I know.
And you just did one pump. Okay.
I did one pump of this, and you can see how it's basically covered everything.
Is that moisturizer or no
moisturizer?
So it's a tinted moisturizer. It's called Bye Bye Foundation, but it's full coverage.
You don't have to put any moisturizer before you put that on.
You don't have to. I like to put moisturizer on because this, it's SPF 50. But it's zinc oxide, so that can be a little bit drying. So just put a moisturizer on before.
So you have your primer
color for your foundation?
It includes a primer.
Oh, okay.
What's that?
For your color for your foundation, do you do lighter or darker, or do you like then make it darker with like bronzer and stuff?
So I don't use bronzer. I do use quite a bit of blush, and I'll show you that in a second. So I'll leave this right here, you guys.
Do you use primer?
It has a primer with it, so okay.
It's like the miracle thing.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so there. I'm just gonna kind of stipple around my face, so you can see it kind of looks airbrushed. All right, and then I'm gonna take an illuminator and just kind of brighten my eyes up like a little bit like this. See, it's cosmetics too. And they've got a great range of colors.
And you use the same brush for everything.
Yeah, just for my foundation. So, okay. So now I have my foundation and my concealer on, and I use this brush for both. So this is just a cream blush. My face eats blush, so I have to put quite a bit on it. But I like having a flushed look on my face. I feel like it makes me look younger. So I'm just going to put this on. Oh. Okay. All right, so that just gave me a little bit of color. And then this is just a translucent powder that I'm going to dust on my face with this just to kind of set my makeup. Okay.
And what's the brand for that?
It. Same brand. It's called Bye Bye Pores. It kind of airbrushes my face so you can't see my pores anymore. So
is this only available on QVC?
No, you can get it at Sephora. Okay. You can get it at Ulta.
We'll send this out.
Yeah. All right, so, and then this brush, when you order on QVC, it comes with this brush. So, and you don't need to be super artistic to do this because the brushes do all the work for you. So that's like, if I was to invest in one thing with my makeup routine, it would be the brushes, because the way they're cut, they just kind of go with the contours of your face.
How often do you clean them?
They actually have a really great makeup brush cleaner, so I clean them like every 2 days. I just spray the cleaner on, and then I wipe it off, and they're clean. So this is my favorite brush. This is a beautiful brush, and it's cut perfectly just to hug the contours of your cheeks. So then this is the brush, the blush I'm going to put over.
Blush and powder.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I always feel like more is better with blush because I want to look flushed. I feel like it makes me look younger. And yeah, so that goes with this. Okay. Now, I know most makeup artists will say to do your eye makeup first because of the fallout. I like to do it last because I want my face to look pretty when I put the blush on, when I put the eyeshadow on. So I wish, this is Beauty Counter. I wish this palette were still available because it's amazing. And it's so simple the way they set this up. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put just kind of a basic color all over my eyelid, because it'll help you blend the colors better. If you just start putting one color on, they won't blend very well because you have the liquid foundation on. Okay.
Test next time, Nikki will bring some toddlers to run in circles around your feet.
Yeah. I swear, it actually only takes me 5 minutes, but I'm trying to explain everything. All right, I'm going to do this look right here. So I'm going to start with the lighter brown, and I'm just going to dab a little bit, and then I'm going to go in my crease like this. And you kind of just want to do an arc motion like that. And then I'm going to take this color right here, and I'm just going to go...
Which is darker.
It's the darker brown, just in the corner of my eye like this. And then I'm going to take this fluffy crease brush and just blend it all together. And that's the one thing I tell my daughter, if you ever put too much eye makeup on and you freak out, just blend, because it will all, yeah. She doesn't like the blending part, but. All right, and this, I'm going to take this pink color right here and just pat it right here. From the corner of my eyelid to the center of my eyelid.
I want a YouTube video of this.
Oh. All right, and then last but not least, a little eyeliner. Oh, I'm shaking. I don't know if I can do this without getting it all over. Okay.
I've got eyeliner.
What's that?
Is that pencil? Is it a gel? Or
yeah, it's a no, it's a no tug gel. So it's super smooth. It glides right on your skin. And then mascara, last but not least. And this is it as well, so.
You don't do liner on the bottom?
I don't like to do liner on the bottom because I feel like it draws attention to my circles. And, yeah, makes me look older, so. And I typically don't do mascara on the bottom either because of the same reason, so. It depends. A lot of the powder lasts a year. So this probably typically lasts me maybe 3 to 6 months. But since it's in a pump and I'm not touching it, there's no bacteria inside of the container. So. Okay. All right. And then I don't typically wear lipstick, but I can use the cream blush on my lips just to give me a little bit color. And that's it. So.
Oh,
thanks. All right, let me know if you have any questions on Facebook.
One more question.
Yes.
When you're doing the blending, can you talk about the motion that you're like?
Oh, sure. Okay, let me get. I'll demonstrate it. So let me find my crease brush. Sorry. Okay, yeah. So the crease brush is really fluffy at the top. So you're just going to want to do like an arc motion, like back and forth like that.
Like push into your eyeball kind of?
Yeah, but just lightly. So you don't want to like...
You're stabbing yourself.
Yeah, don't stab your eye.
Wow. I learned so much. I did my makeup on the way in. I do it with my fingers and I can put... Thank you, Nikki. I can do my mascara without, like, looking in the mirror, like, while driving. Okay. Yeah, while I'm driving. It's really... I'm telling you so many bad things. It is. Oh, shoot. Okay. All right, next we have hosting a proper dinner party with Jen Burkholder.
All right, so we're going to revise the title, because that's actually just how to throw a party. No dinner involved.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. No proper involved.
Okay. Oh, really, really quick. There is paper in your the middle of your tables if you want to write notes. I should have said that earlier. Sorry. But go ahead, then. We'll send out the information.
All right, so we have been hosting parties since we first got married, almost 20 years, at least, I don't know, many a year. So... We started out, and just, I'm going to start by talking about why to have a party, for those of you who've never done it before, and then I'm going to talk about some tips on how. So, first of all, why have a party? So, ladies, do it for love. It's not about your house, or your food, or your salient conversation. It's about your welcome. So 1 Peter 4:9 to 10 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So I'm here to tell you that anyone, even if they don't feel like they're gifted with hospitality, can throw a party. So I've told you about the why. Now I'm going to talk a little about the how. I'm going to talk about space, budget, menu, and some other stuff. So first of all, if you've never thrown a party before, I would recommend starting small. And by small, I mean small numbers, invite a few people, small budget, and small effort. I think it's actually awesome to co-host with a friend, especially if that friend's thrown a party before, so that's helpful. So here are some small ideas. First of all, you can have just dessert. That's pretty simple. Maybe you can have cheese plate and wine. A potluck is actually a good way to start a small party where everyone brings a dish and you only have to have one dish yourself. Or you can do a dinner party, and the reason that would be small is you just have a few guests coming, you know, maybe 6 to 8 people max. So the first question to ask when you're thinking about starting a party is, what's your budget? You do not need a lot of money, and I'm going to tell you in a couple minutes how to some ideas for doing a party with $20. So it can be done. I've done it before. So the first question to ask after budget is, what is your space? So I promise you, your house is not too small to have a party. Now, here are some reasons why. First of all, your backyard can be another room, and even if your backyard's a patio or even a little, some kind of porch, your local park can be another room. If there's good food and good company and a comfortable atmosphere, people will happily squeeze together. And in fact, sometimes that feels more intimate. And, you know, if your house isn't as big and grand as you feel like it should be, most of your friends have houses that aren't as big and grand, and they're going to feel comfortable there. So that said, I would caution you not to over-invite your first time around. When it gets a little crowded, you're going to feel more uncomfortable than your guests are. So another question to ask is, what is your time frame? So do you have a fantasy of your party being when your kids are in bed? Well, think about that. Or do you want families to come? So you need to think about your guest list as well. And when you're thinking about that, you think about what your goal is for this party. Is it a gathering of your close friends, which sometimes can be the easiest start? Your friends are forgiving, right? Or maybe a soccer party for your kid's soccer team. Or maybe it's loving on people who are lonely in your life that you want to come and bring in and love on them. So then you want to think about how you're going to send your invitations. So some people like to send the old-fashioned snail mail invitations, and sometimes those are really beautiful. I prefer Evite, and one of the main reasons I prefer Evite, apart from the fact that it's easier than having to write everything down, is that, as you all know, Evite has that automatic pestering your friends, you know, where they to get your RSVPs, and it's helpful to know how many people are coming. So then we want to look at food. So you need to make a menu. So when you are making a menu, think about your budget. Also think about what you can cook well and what you know others might like. So the reason I recommend not picking a new menu item on your first try, like don't just open Martha Stewart magazine saying, let's try this new thing that takes ingredients I don't even have in my closet. There's just too much going on to do something like that. So I recommend something you've done before. It's also helpful to think of what others might like. If you're a big salmon person, but you know your guests aren't, you might think of not having fish on your menu. So consider allergies as well. As someone who has allergies, when I go to parties where people have something on the menu that I can eat, it just feels like such a gift to me. So again, if your reason for throwing a party is to love your friends, it's really helpful. So I know sometimes allergies can be intimidating, especially I know there's a lot of people that have anaphylactic allergies, a lot of kids right now, which is are life-threatening. And what I recommend doing is purchasing something in that situation that's packaged, asking the mom who has the child coming, who has allergies, or the person coming, you know, what do you think would be good for me to buy? And sometimes they'll bring their own thing, but I've done that a lot to have things on hand, and it really speaks volumes to them. Think about spending time with your guests when you think about budget. Lots of kitchen time during the party is less time with your guests. So I think of self-serve dishes like chips and dip, cheese and crackers, chili in a crock pot. Minimize the hors d'oeuvres, really, because you have to stay in the kitchen and heat them and fuss with them, and it's not always helpful. Decor. Now, this is a stumbling block for a lot of people. So the biggest decor item that I think is important is just picking up your house, like cleaning up. And, you know, close all the doors in your house that people aren't going to be in. You don't need to go deep on your storage area. You know, just close doors. Pick up stuff. I know that a lot of that is just picking up your kids' stuff. And then, you know, when the time for the party comes, you're going to dim the lights a little bit. You're going to put maybe light some candles, which adds ambiance, and maybe throw some fresh flowers. It doesn't have to be fancy. So activities are helpful. Sometimes, conversation is so going so swimmingly that you don't have time for activities, but I like to have a few activities just in case conversation stalls. It helps me to feel a little bit less stressed out if that happens. So if it's a small party, you can have card games or games like Pictionary, board games. We have used a lot of online party games when we've had, especially with teenagers and things like that. There's an app called Jackbox that you can purchase the games, and then everyone logs in using their smart devices, and it's some really fun games. You can also, we often have prizes for games. So we like to keep back like those Christmas gifts that we didn't really want, or, you know, buy funny things at CVS when they're 10%, you know, at the end of Christmas, like nose hair trimmers, you know, just things that are fun, or candy and gum or something like that. So games for children are helpful too. I really recommend if you're going to have children in the other games for them that you have someone fully dedicated to run those games, and that's not you or your husband. So ambitious teens can be really helpful to hire on the cheap. And those can be kids that really maybe aren't even babysitting age, maybe 12 years old. And you know, because they're at the house with you, if there's an emergency, they can come get you, but they really can run the games well. You don't need to hire someone professional to face paint. There's a lot of online ideas, and I recommend using the outdoors whenever possible for that. So schedule. 2 weeks out or more, you determine your budget, make your guest list, plan activities, make your menu. 2 weeks out, you send your evites. The day before the party, that's when I shop. I clean. I figure out the food layout. So the day of the party, the absolute first thing on the day of the party is to get dressed and put your makeup on. Trust me on this. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's what you should do first, but it is, because if not, you will always be greeting your guests with half your makeup on. Because you can always find one more thing to do, you know, in cleaning up. So get dressed, put your makeup on, finish cleaning, finish the food prep and last-minute decor, finish your last-minute game preparations, send someone else out to get the ice for you, and then ice your drinks, put out your food, preheat your oven if you are going to put anything in the oven, put out your cheese like maybe an hour before, put on some of your favorite tunes, and we outsource our playlist to our teens at this point, and then greet your guests with a smile. We want to try, if you can, to try and greet most people that come in, because they're going to feel special. So here are my $20 party ideas. So cheese, crackers, and wine for four, but buy a Trader Joe's. You can do it for $20. Chili dinner for six. If you need a recipe, let me know. I'll tell you how we make that for $20 for six people. Ice cream sundaes and coffee for eight, or your potluck idea. So you can provide soda and water in one dish. So then some things to make a party easier, as you all know, Trader Joe's, right? Aldi's, but they've got wine, cheeses, fruit, chocolates, gourmet products on the cheap. Another great thing for a party is paper products. I know some of you have some nice fancy dishes, and you know, feel free to put them out, but paper products make the cleanup a lot easier. A cleaning lady. So if you can afford it, it's really awesome to have someone come either day before or day of the party. Joint parties are really helpful. Also, just simple things like juice boxes, water bottles, sodas, and cans. I know if you have any number of people, especially with children, things get spilled. And it's just helpful not to have to worry about that. And so if you have a little more in your budget to buy those things and cans and stuff is really helpful. And also just if you are looking for hors d'oeuvres, BJ's and Costco are great places to buy them because they have bigger servings of them. So some other fun ideas just to wrap up. You can rent a moon bounce or a pony. You know, just something fun if you're having a special party. Pinterest, of course, has great ideas. Martha Stewart is someone I like just because sometimes, for me, I need help with a visual, even with food. A couple other things. Propane heat lamps or fire pits on a cold day give you an awesome outdoor space if you have a little room in your backyard. I have found as my kids got older, the teens really loved being outside away from all of us. And if you trust them with the fire, you know. The propane lamps, they have tall ones, and you have some propane heaters that are more like, they turn on and they're more like a little fire. We have one of those. And you can rent the propane heaters. We've rented them for maybe $100 or something. But to purchase them is not much more. So if you have space to store them, they're helpful. And they can make a big difference. And also, we've invited friends to close by vacation houses to have dinner parties. But you need to obviously ask the owners first. You know, some people don't allow you to parties at their place. So I just want to encourage you all that you all can do it, and no, like I said, no house is too small. Just, you know, be brave. Be brave. You can do it. All right.
Thank you, Jen. That's like a total cheat sheet to use. I use the tip to get dressed first now, and she's so right. Get yourself ready. Money masks for moms. Rosina DeVesti. She's going to tell us about finance.
I am. I have a handout. I'm going to go speedy, but we can talk about questions because this is like my secret thing that I really like. I thought I would start off with the most depressing part first, my most depressing tip, which is our impending mortality. But the good news, I think the reality is that because we know Jesus and the things that we know, we don't have to be afraid of death, and we can also recognize that that there is something very real about that, that we are not all blindsided by that, that there is tragedy. And so one of my biggest passions has been talking to people and learning about life insurance. I don't want to embarrass anybody, so don't raise your hands, but you should know right now if something were to happen to you or your spouse, how much money would come to your family, or what would happen? And for a lot of people, they're like, I don't know. My husband has a job, or he has life insurance, so that's kind of where we leave it up to, especially if you're a stay-at-home parent. And so my first thing is I would just recommend you should just go home and know, if it's through your job, how much are you paying for it, how much is your benefit, and how much does it cost you per month? And so a lot of you that are working moms, you'd be surprised that you're probably paying around $40 or $50 a month for a coverage that's usually about two times your annual salary. That's kind of the fit we go with. But privately, if you were to get private insurance and purchase it on your own, you could purchase a lot more than that for a lesser amount per month. So you could save money and also possibly set up your family differently. I said misconceptions about stay-at-home parents. A lot of people think, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so if something happened to me, like, I don't really have an incoming salary, so... But I wrote on my handout, the New York Times estimated that the average stay-at-home mom is worth about $162,000 per year. So thinking about childcare and things like that, I would just encourage you to think about if something were to happen to you, what kind of financial situation would you want your spouse to be in? And so private coverage is awesome. I listed a couple of places you can go. Policy Genius is a really cool site. You can literally just type in how old you are, what your health is, what you want, and it'll pull up all the different sites for you. It runs you through the application. It'll tell you all the different companies. It's not affiliated with any one of them. And you can get it in roughly about a week. And so to give you like an idea, just to talk real numbers, my husband was paying, $50 a month for out of his paycheck, and I think it covered two times his salary. We started talking about, like, what were our goals for our family? What if something super tragic were to happen to us? We wanted to be able to not work for a year. We said we would like to be with our kids and maybe do some different things. We don't know what that looks like, but we know it would be terrible. So to get about $1 million in coverage, which sounds insane, costs about $40 a month. And so just to think about things like that, that what you might be spending money on. So conversely, you could, for $5 a month, have a pretty significant coverage for your family. So I would encourage you to go home, research it, use Policy Genius. It'll set you up. There's great people they talk to. I've used that. Another one, I said if you're feeling, this is really small circumstances, but I've used Hello Bestow too. This is if you're like, Christina, I don't have time. I don't want to. You don't want to get the checkup or whatever it is. I was puking a lot with my last baby, and the idea of someone coming and like taking my temperature made me like retch on the ground. So Hello Bestow is where you can buy life insurance like you would with a credit card and a subscription service, and no one comes to check you out. There's no fees. You literally just buy it online like you're buying a Stitch Fix box. So you can do that, but you are paying for it. It's more expensive. So I currently have something through there, but it's an option if all this sounds really overwhelming and you're like, I just want to buy it before I go on a trip, and then in 6 months I might sit down with my husband and talk about it. So I'm going to move fast because I want us to get out, but I'd love to talk about that. You should have it. What you provide for your family is super valuable, and it's important to be wise with the gifts and the money that we've been entrusted with. So speaking of which, we should talk about IRAs, which is so exciting. I'm really excited about retirement accounts, which is weird because God calls us to work, and you are all working super hard in your homes and with your families and with your children, and you should be maximizing that. And so if you are a working mom, you probably already have something set up at work, but you should take a look at that, and we can talk about it. I'm mostly talking about
spouses who've stopped working. So a lot of people, as soon as they stop working, they stop having a retirement account, because why would you think about that? That's super boring. But compound interest is on your side, my friends, because we are now, a lot of us, I looked up the average age of Kindred right now is 33. Hey, 33. So if you were to start contributing just the maximum you can put in an IRA right now at 33, it would be about, but when you retired at 65, it's about $700,000, where the actual amount that you'd be given up is about $160,000. And so compound interest is just something to think about in your 30s. And so what I mean by an IRA account is it's just, I always think of IRAs as like a suitcase. It's just the vehicle with which you can invest in the stock market. So you can have risky investments, you can have low-key ones, but you can go on one of these websites like Vanguard or Fidelity and like literally open for yourself an IRA. And if you're not working, it's called a spousal IRA, which means technically your spouse is contributing for you. The maximum you can put in every year is $6,000. It's a huge, significant tax break. Most people I know will see a lot of that money come back to them in the form of a tax refund, because it's considered such a gift that your husband is gifting to you. And it's just a way to kind of save safely and to, I don't know, take advantage of the fact that you are working. Just because you're not in the workforce doesn't mean you can't save your money wisely. There's also, I always ask this to people, I say, do you know where your past employer plan is? How many people know you once had a retirement account, but you don't know where it is, how much is in it, or what it is? I see you, friends. I see you. That's mine. That was definitely me. So I also recommend finding that. A lot of people don't know that you can do stuff with that. You can have it sent in what's called a rollover, and you can put it into one of these accounts where you can actually look at it. You can move the investments. None of these things are considered a cost to you. It's your money. You can have the checks sent over. And a lot of times you're going to be managing it better than wherever it is in the other world floating in space. You can just have a bit more control over it. And it encourages you to be wise. For me, this $6,000 marker per year is like a great, that's the maximum you can contribute. We can talk more. There's income limits. If you make an obscene amount of money, some of this may not apply to you. We can talk about that. But for the most part, that's the limit. And so I love seeing that as like a savings goal for me and my family. And the last thing, because I think we have to go. These are some finance apps for moms that I wanted to get into. They're on your sheets. We can talk about it anytime. Ibotta. Any Ibotta people in here? What? What's happening?
I tried it.
It's fine. It's one where you can scan your receipts and sort of use your what you buy at grocery stores. Rakuten has the worst name out of all of them. It's formerly Ebates. You download this on your browser, and whenever you're shopping, it pops up, and it's like, hello, you know, this is one of our participating sites. Would you like to save 8%? It's a referral site. So, like, Sephora right now has 10%. So if you happen to buy something there, you click through that link, and it sends you 10% back in the form of a check every quarter. We probably get, like, a $50 check from them every quarter, and I don't know what we do, but we're just buying stuff, I guess. Don't listen to me. Good Budget, if you're a Dave Ramsey fan, which I am, but you don't want to have cash in envelopes because I don't want to feel like I'm in 1994 again, I can log the things that I buy in real time in a series of envelopes, so it causes a lot of good marital discussions about how we should spend money. It's good. I recommend it. If you're not price matching while you're at Target, Amazon is an app that I use because Target, most sites these days match to Amazon. So fun fact, if you put something in your cart, you should scan it with Amazon real quick. If it's $10 or cheaper at Amazon while you're at the register, tell the person, hey, this is $10 cheaper at Amazon, and they literally just make it $10 cheaper. Wow. It's magic. Go home and do that, guys, when you go to Target. Elvis, if you don't have an emergency account, sign up. They give you $50. We can talk about that. I'm running out of time. And Personal Capital. It puts all of your accounts in one space, and you can kind of look at your financial picture of health as a whole. And we can talk about all this stuff for days. I think we're going to have Laura come up hopefully next week, because I'm looking at our time as we're going off. She has a bunch of tech apps for moms, too. And so both she and I would love to talk app stuff with you.
Kristen, tell them the Get Upside one, too, for cashback.
Get Upside for cashback is Abigail's recommendation for gas. So as you're driving along, you can click on which gas station right now is offering 25 cents on the gallon, and you can fill up and take a picture of your receipt. We should add that.
I'm having the website app that we use. We've got little credit cards for us. It's kind of crazy. Through a site called FamZoo, F-A-M-Zoo, and you can, if you have allowance, you give the kids our tour money, they can each have their own card. Ours says from the Bank of Lord Randall, but it's basically his his MasterCard has, like, it's a prepaid MasterCard. It gets money on it, and then we transfer it to the kids' cards. So the advantage, they can download an app on their phone, and they can see how much money they have left in it, and they can keep it. You know, we have two separate accounts, one for, like, spending, one for clothes, things like that. So it's a really good way of budgeting.
Jen, why don't you email that to one of us?
Okay.
And
we'll
yeah, we'll compile. There's like a lot of good stuff here, and yeah, okay. Sorry, I'm so sorry, Laura.
No,
she has like amazing slides and a video.